you take your bulletin home and find out all the activities that are going to be happening tomorrow and throughout the week at Calvary Chapel. But why don't we just go to the Lord in prayer now? Father, we praise you. We thank you for this Resurrection Sunday 2014 as we celebrate it, Lord, not only with those here in the chapel, the overflow room, but Lord, all through the country, those that are listening right now live to this service, we welcome them and we love them. And Father, this morning, it is my prayer and the prayer of every believer that if there is anyone that is listening and they don't know Jesus, the risen Lord, as their personal Savior, oh God, today break open their heart and pour in eternal life, Jesus, the risen Lord, and save. Lord, help me this morning to teach your word accurately, faithfully, exactly, let me say only the words you would have me say, Father. Bring all things to my remembrance. We praise you, O Father, and thank you for this day that you've given us as we join with churches all over the world celebrating our risen Lord. And it's in his precious holy name we pray. And the church says, amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning on this Resurrection Sunday to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Now, as you're turning, I'm going to read from the gospel about the risen Lord here, and then I'll catch up with you in 1 Corinthians 15 in just a moment. Matthew's gospel records for us, it says, "Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him because became like dead men. And then the angel answered and said to the women," everyone say women. Women. "The angel said to the women," he says, "Oh, don't be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." And the angel spoke to the women and said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Isn't it amazing the wisdom of God that God used the first evangelist were women, amen? You know why? Because if you tell a woman anything, you can be sure the word's going to get out. Amen? That's right. Well, I told the truth. God is good, amen? Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? All right, I've turned there with you. This is, of course, the greatest celebration day. 2,000 years ago, a permanent change happened in the world. Jesus, our Savior, he rose from the dead just as he said that he would. And all the violence of Good Friday, which is past now, all the horrible things that happened that day, Jesus on that horrible, violent day paid for the sins of all of mankind. And listen, yes, the tomb is empty, but our faith is not in an empty tomb. Amen? Our faith is in the risen Savior who lives in our hearts, but is also who is present with us. Resurrection Sunday, or Easter, it's not about death. It's about life. It's about eternal life. I'm going to ask you a question as we set up to go into our message this morning. When was the last time that you used the word pitiable? Say that word with me, pitiable. Anybody use that in a text this week? Or did you tweet this? Or maybe that is that your name on Facebook? I don't know. But now think about it for a moment. When is the last time you used that word? You know, the word pitiable describes a person's condition, whether they know it or not. Let me use it in a sentence. Look at verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says here, Paul says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." That's a word that's not used anymore. Did you know that in the New Testament, that word, the Greek word, which we translate pitiable, is only found two places in the New Testament. It's found here, And it's also found in one of the letters of Jesus to the seven churches, and that would be the church at Laodicea, the lukewarm church, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. And that word pitiable is translated there as wretched. Think about that. Wretched and just falling apart and so forth. Now, this morning, this word is used in describing those who do not believe in the resurrection, and also those who believe in the resurrection, or say, rather, that there is no resurrection, that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Let me give you the definition of the Greek word here of the word pitiable. It means that person is worthy of pity, or literally full of misery. Basically, it's this way. A pitiable person is a person who deserves more pity than anyone in the entire world. Now listen carefully, regardless of their circumstances. They could be the richest person, most powerful person in all of the earth. Or they could be the poorest person on the planet. And the fact of the matter is this horrible word here is used about talking about the resurrection. Not only the resurrection of the Lord, but our resurrection as well. Now, this morning, I want to start off, if you will, on a negative, if you will. What if, here we are together, what if Jesus did not rise from the dead? Can we look at that first, okay? Because we need to answer some questions and see what God has to say about it. Look in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me now. It says this, "Now if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, how do some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead?" Paul says, hey, listen, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is what? He's not risen. Boy, I'll tell you what. Listen, if Christ is not risen, we should be pitied. We're the most pitiable people on the planet. Amen? Think about that. I mean, here we are. We've gathered here this morning. And you know what? Jesus's body, if he's not risen, he's someplace in Jerusalem in some tomb. And he's been there for the last 2,000 years. And it means that Jesus is nothing more than a dead man. It says, he goes on and he says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is useless or empty. And look at our faith. And your faith is also empty." In other words, useless. We just believe in a dead person. We don't have a living Savior. That's what Paul is trying to get across here. I mean, how pitiable is that? Think about it for a minute, if there's no good news. There's only bad news. I mean, we might as well just, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we might as well just go out on the Easter egg hunt. Amen? This side. You know, you got what I said, right? Did I ever tell you about the Easter rabbit? Oh, let me tell you. Oh, yeah. The Easter bunny. You ever heard of him? Well, see, when I was a little boy on the farm, you know, when I was a little boy on the farm, about 5 years old, I actually trapped a bunny rabbit. So my older brother, I thought it was really the Easter bunny. And so here's what he did. He would hide those little Easter eggs, the candy ones, all over the house. And I would find them. I go, "Oh, I have the real Easter bunny. He's laying Easter eggs." Oh, yeah. I mean, the golden goose has arrived. I can start selling them to my friends and all of that. And my brother said, "He's not the Easter bunny, Billy." I said, "He is. He is. Look at all." He says, "I'm the one hiding all those little candies for you, you moron." And then he grabbed that little bunny, and we lived in the farm, remember, a bunch of rough rednecks. He grabbed that poor little bunny and threw him out into the field. Oh, yeah. Listen, why did I tell you that story? I have no idea. But here's the thing this morning. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then you know what? Christianity is nothing more than a sham. In other words, without the resurrection of Christ, there is no such thing as a church. And you know what we just did? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it means this. We all have gathered here this morning. Guess what we just did a moment ago? We were singing make-believe songs to a make-believe Savior because we don't have a Savior. We only have a dead man. And Paul goes on and says, yes, and more than that, watch this, "And we're found false witnesses of God." In other words, liars. Because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If, in fact, the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. How pitiable is that? Listen, do you know what Paul's really saying? He's saying, man, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, every church right now ought to close down. And you know why? Well, we're all deceived. 40 years ago there on the beach in Florida when I came to Christ, I didn't get saved. I wasn't transformed. No, that's what Paul is saying. He said, listen, if Christ is not, if he didn't rise from the dead, every church should close down. And you know why? Because all of us are the biggest liars in all of the world. And it means that this New Testament that we treasure and hold dear and inerrant, infallible word of God, the certain, sure word of God, God breathes, not man breathes. It's not worth the pages that it's written on. That's what that means, loved one. Listen, not only that, it means that people should actually run from the Bible. Because the Bible is not true if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And that means that all the disciples, all of the ones that wrote here in the Bible, every Christian that has ever lived in every generation, if Christ has not risen and we say that he has risen, then we are nothing more than a bunch of liars. Look at verse 5. Go back to verse 5 there. Paul says, and he, meaning Jesus, he was seen. Well, he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12 disciples. And after that, he was seen by over how many people? 500 brethren at once. 500 believers at one time, of whom the greater part remain present. They're still alive. And he says, but some, of course, have fallen asleep. Now listen, 1 Corinthians, what we're reading from, was written 27 years after the resurrection of our Lord. And watch this now. He says, and after that, he was seen by James, then all of the apostles, and then Paul says, and last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. Now, we know that happened on the Damascus Road. And then right before Jesus' resurrection, ascension in Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and following, remember that Jesus, as he took the disciples out, the resurrected Lord, out as far as Bethany, and he was being parted away from them, he did something. Acts 1, 3 says that by many infallible proofs, he spoke to them of the kingdom that was coming. You know, I start looking at that and I said, oh, Lord, that's incredible. But how pitiable. All of those witnesses, 500 and all the people that saw the Lord, heard the Lord. Thomas, who Jesus appeared to him and said, Thomas, you know, why aren't you believing? Here, take your finger and put it in my side. Don't be faithless, but be believing. And blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Amen. All the eyewitnesses, the two men on the road to Damascus when the Lord appeared, all of them, it means all of them are liars. That's what it means. Oh, how pitiable is that? It means that the women lied. They didn't really see an angel there sitting on top of the stone that was rolled away. They didn't even see Jesus at all. And you want to hear something that's pitiable, that's horrible. All of the apostles, except for John, died by martyrdom. All of them but two were crucified. A horrible, horrible death. Can you imagine 12 people getting together and saying, I am going to die to maintain a lie? The church can't, you can't get three people in the church to agree about anything. But, you know, think, no, it doesn't work that way. Oh, they died a horrible death because they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. You know, listen, men die for a lie every day. There's no doubt about that. But they die for a lie that they believe with all of their heart is the truth. Men do not knowingly ever die for a lie to protect it. Amen? No, it doesn't. And they all died horrible deaths. Look at verse 17 now. And if Christ is not risen, look what Paul says, talking to the church, talking to Christians. He says, your faith is futile. That word means without cause. It's like chasing your own shadow or something. He says, and you're still in your sins. And then also those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ, well, they've just simply perished. How pitiable to believe in your heart like the moment that I believed all those years ago as a young man, standing on a beach there in Florida, the sun coming up, a cold, cold beer in my hand. I forget the name of the beer. It starts with a B. What would that be? Pray for that side. Six o'clock in the morning, the sun coming up, cigarette in one hand, a Budweiser, I think they said, in the other. And that hippie comes up to me. He says, "You look like you're looking for the truth." And I said, "I am looking for the truth." And he says, "Well, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I said, "Well, just what is truth?" And he said, "Jesus Christ." He said, "Pray with me." He grabbed my hand, prayed with me, and I was born again. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, I wasn't born again. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I was not justified. I was not sanctified. I was not made holy. I was not set apart. My name was not written in the Lamb's book of life. Are you following me? Well, then why am I still here? Why am I still here loving people, teaching God's word? I'll tell you why. Because Christ is risen from the dead. Amen? I look at all these things this morning. I say, "Oh God, you're so good." See, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it says we're still in our sins. That means sin has won. It says that those that believe, that have died, well, they've perished. I mean, they're just out there in the grave. There's no heaven. There's no eternal life. None of those things. That means that death has won without the resurrection of our Lord. And then look at verse 19, our main verse today. He says, if this in this life, only we have hope in Christ, we of all men. If all the other things we read are true, that Christ is not risen, we of all people on earth are the most pitiable. And we should be pitied. You know why? Because Paul is saying, this is it, folks. This life, this is all we have. This is as good as it's going to get. There's nothing awaiting you or me but the old grave, and it's going to get us all. Matter of fact, here we are in this life, and we think there's someone out there that's going to help us. And Paul says, nope, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, there's no one going to help us. You know what it means? It means that we put our faith in Christ, and it was nothing more than a cruel joke if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. It means that the world was right. The cross is just a bunch of foolishness, and so is the empty tomb. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there is no Savior. How pitiable are we? Think of it. We have renounced this world, looking for a new world that's coming, only to find out there isn't a new world that's coming. Not only that, we've done something else. All of us that love the Lord, you know what we've done? We've denied ourselves. We've taken up our cross, and now we're following him, but we're not following a risen Savior. We're following a dead man. How pitiable would that be? All for nothing. Loved one, listen to me. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, this book that we hold and dear to our hearts is not true. It means that God, Titus 1:2, the God who cannot lie. It means that God, through his word, the written word that we hold so dear, has lied to all mankind if Jesus did not rise from the dead. This means that Christianity is worthless. Because Christianity is all about a man. It's all about a Savior. His name is Jesus. It means that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it means that he did not come from heaven. It means that he was not born of a virgin. It means that he was not Emmanuel, God with us, 100% human and 100% God. Oh, think about that. How pitiable is that? It means we have no great high priest who sits at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. It means we have no access to God. Our prayers are not even being heard. It means that we're not born again. It means that Jesus is not only not preparing a place for us, it means he's not coming for us. We know different, don't we? Oh, yes, we know different. But listen now, there's one more thing. If Jesus was not who he said he was, and if Jesus did not rise from the dead, listen carefully. I say this with tenderness in my heart. Jesus deliberately lied to everyone. Are you listening to me? He deliberately lied meaning he was the best con man in all of history. You know, Josh McDowell in his book, More Than a Carpenter, you know, says, he has a chapter in there. He says Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, meaning he thought he was God and he wasn't God, he had lost his mind, or he was the Lord. Thank God we know that he is the Lord. Verse 20, we hold dear in our hearts. What does it say? But Christ has risen from the dead. Amen. We know that to be true. Now listen carefully. Let's pause just for a moment, because we know that Jesus is alive. We know that he's risen from the dead. Amen. We're not pitiable people. We're the church of the living God, and we are forever triumphant. Amen. We're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, and we're going to live and reign with him forever and ever and ever. But let's pause right now, because see, every generation, whether it's this generation, if Christ tarries and doesn't take us home, then the next generation and all the past generations, listen, they all had to make a judgment. They all had to pass sentence on Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus has been on trial to every generation, and he's certainly on trial here in the 21st century today. So with all that being said, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, those that are tuning in, sitting at home, in their cars, wherever you may be, listen carefully, those that are in the chapel, in the overflow, all of you, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, meaning you've asked him to come and live in your heart, if he's not, then Jesus is on trial right now in your heart. And it's very important that you listen to what I'm about to tell you. Because before you leave this morning, if Jesus is not your Lord, I promise you, you're going to give a verdict. I want your verdict to be this: he is the Lord, and I want him to live in my heart. So with all that being said, let's go back to verse 1 of 1 Corinthians here, chapter 15, and let me read quickly. Paul writing, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare," I'm reminding you, "that the gospel which I preach to you, which you also receive, in which you stand, by which also you are saved," that good news, hallelujah, "if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain." Now watch verse 3. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our" what? He died for us, but he died also for our sins. And look how he did it, according to the scriptures. Now listen, there is nothing more pitiable to meet a man or a woman, no matter where you find them on this planet, and know that they don't know Jesus. Why? Because here they are, you're talking about pitiable. They're in their sins when they don't have to be in their sins. In other words, their sins have been taken away. John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," everyone. Now, where in the world did Jesus take our sins to? Psalm 103 verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us." You can't calculate that distance. It's incalculable. From the east to the west, if you're going east, you're always going to be going east. Amen? Listen, they're gone. They are removed. They're cleansed, past, present, and future. Jesus paid for each and every one of them. Oh, God is so good. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now listen, that's something we need to grasp this morning, especially if you don't know the Lord. You see, Jesus died according to the word of God, which means his death, his resurrection, was not an accident. It was a supernatural plan of God. Amen? Oh, how we need to know that. See, without the resurrection of our Lord, without that empty tomb, Jesus coming forth. Listen, the cross is nothing more than a horrible, horrible tragedy. It's a terrible, horrible death, meaning Jesus died for nothing. Listen, is it the cross that saves us? No. It's the resurrection that proved the cross. Are you listening to me? If Jesus did not come if he had not risen from the dead, we would still be in our sins. Oh, but when he came out, like he said he would, oh, everything was taken care of. Oh, he defeated death. He defeated the grave and the sin and the devil and all of it. And look here, it says he was buried and he rose again, meaning never to die again, on the first day, second day. He had to die when? The third day. Come forth on the third day. And how did he do it? Look at the word again. According to the what? The scriptures, the Bible that we have. That means that Jesus' death was a real death. There was a real tomb. It was sealed by a real Roman governor. His name was Pontius Pilate. History records that. Secular history. And not only that, the tomb had to be guarded by all those Roman soldiers. Now listen, I have officiated in too many funerals, but I have never been at the graveside after I have said the last words and the family said, I have a guard I'm going to place over the graveside. Huh? No. Rome, the Jews, everyone was terrified. Because you see, Jesus prophesied his own death, how he would die, and when he would rise again. Amen? I'd like to see somebody in this room do that. Huh? No, only God could do those things. Now, what is God's purpose on this Resurrection Sunday? Why would God say, it's according to the scriptures? Why? Because God wants man to have the supernatural facts of what occurred. See, we have to ask ourselves a question. On Good Friday, you know, why was the death of Jesus 2,000 years ago, why was it so violent? Why was it so horrible? Why was it so cruel? I mean, why couldn't they just kill him instead of butchering the way they did? Why did they have to take his back and rip it all the way apart with the whip there with the lead and the glass and the bone and rip chunks of flesh out of his back? Why did they have to grab his beard as it recorded and pull his beard out? Why did the Roman soldiers have to spit in his face? Why are all those things recorded in the Word? You know why? Because Jesus had to die a certain way and be hurt and wounded a certain way according to the Word of God. Amen? The Bible tells us in Isaiah 50 verse 6, it says this, I gave, that's of his own volition, speaking about Jesus the Messiah. Isaiah, the Old Testament, 500 years before it ever happened, he says, I gave my back to those who struck me, the scourging, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard and did not hide my face from spitting. Oh, a person that doesn't know Christ, a person that's not saved, a person that sins are not washed away and their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh gosh, listen, that is a pitiable person. Amen. I look at here. Why do we say, well, why did the Roman soldier, why did they have to pierce his side with a spear? Because 550 years before the crucifixion, a prophet named Zechariah, he had to prophesy, and he said it in Zechariah 12:10, they will look upon whom they have pierced. You see, it's all according to the Word of God. Why did they have to drive the nails? Why didn't they use something else? Why did they have to put nails in two specific places in Jesus? Why did they have to put it in his feet and in his hands? See, it's not just because that's the way they did it. That's because God said it was going to happen that way. You see, the Bible tells us 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified. Listen carefully. In Psalm 22:16, it says, they pierced my hands. Speaking of, that's a messianic psalm. They pierced my hands and my feet. I could count all my bones. Jesus is going to, he looked and he could stare at me. In other words, he was there on the cross. Why did they gamble at the cross for the garments of Christ? Because 1,000 years before it ever happened, the psalmist had written this, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. I mean, they gambled for them. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. Remember what I told you? That Jesus, the Son of God, had to come and enter Jerusalem at a specific day, a certain day. It had to be on a specific time. God's timetable. It was prophesied 550 years before he ever entered Jerusalem. And by Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, it was prophesied and told as well the exact day Jesus would enter Jerusalem. But Zechariah told us how he would enter Jerusalem. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, meaning the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's just having salvation. Lowly, riding on a donkey, a colt. Jesus, now listen carefully, it was written 550 years before he entered Jerusalem. Jesus, number one, had to enter Jerusalem on the exact right day, Sunday. Jesus had to not only enter on the right day, he had to enter the exact city, Jerusalem. And he had to come on the exact animal, a donkey. Not only that, it had to be the exact people, the Jews. And only one person could be riding that donkey, that little colt, and it would be the Messiah. The king is coming. It says, behold, the king is coming. Listen, how sure is God's word? And I say, oh, pitiable? I'll tell you, a person that's pitiable, that deserves pity more than anyone in the world, is someone who doesn't trust this word, that doesn't believe this word. Do you, maybe I encourage you to, when you have time, go to Peter Stoner's website online. He's a celebrated mathematician. He's dead now. He's home with the Lord. But let me just tell you what Peter Stoner did on his calculations. He took 8 prophecies from the Old Testament, okay? 8 prophecies concerning Jesus, all right, the Messiah. Now listen, first, one of the prophecies was this, that Jesus, the Messiah, had to be betrayed by a friend, okay? Not just anyone, but he had to be betrayed by a friend. And we know that to be Judas. And the person who betrays him has to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver, not gold, not 20 pieces, but 30 pieces of silver. And guess what? That silver has to be cast on the floor, not just any floor. The money has to be cast on the floor of the temple. Who did that, by the way? Judas did, didn't he? He threw it down and so forth. Now listen. And the money that was thrown on the floor had to be used to buy a potter's field. Now, that's 7. Let me give you, that's 7. Sorry about that. That's 7. Now, let me give you one more. And the Messiah, talking about 8 prophecies from the Bible, and the Messiah had to be born in a specific city out of all the cities in all of the world, and the city that he was born in had a less than 1,000 people in it, and it was called Bethlehem. Those are 8 prophecies. The chances of any one man fulfilling those 8 prophecies exactly is 10 to the 17th power. You know what that means, right? That's 10, and put 17 little zeros behind it. Now listen. God doesn't want anyone on earth. That's why we have this book. He doesn't want anyone to be a pitiable person. No, God's word is supernatural. It's exact. It is certain. Listen, the chances again of any one man fulfilling all 8 of those prophecies again is 10 to the 17th power. Let me tell you what Peter Stone said about that. He helps us understand. Here's what he said. He says, if we take 10 to the 17th, in other words, 10 and all those 17 zeros, silver dollars, and lay them on the face of Texas, they will cover all the state 2 feet deep. Can you imagine? Think 2 feet deep, the whole state of Texas. Now, here's what he says. Now, mark just one of the silver dollars. Now, stir the whole mass thoroughly over all the state. Blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up one silver dollar and say, this is the right one. What chance would he have of getting the right one? The same chance the prophets would have had of writing these 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man. And they all came true in one man, Jesus, the risen Lord. Amen. I look at it and say, oh God, you are so good. See, listen, Jesus did rise from the dead. All of it, he said, is true. Jesus did die for us. Jesus did taste death for us so we wouldn't have to taste death. He defeated the devil for us. Thank God he's coming again. Did you know, listen, that means that when Jesus came out of that tomb, it validated everything that God has written is true. Noah and the ark is true. Jonah and the whale, true. Amen? Yes, the word of God is true. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a savior. Jesus is alive. You see, God is for you. And God says, you don't have to be pitiable. You don't have to be that kind of person. Jesus died in our place, rose again for us to give every person a brand new beginning. That is, a brand new beginning while there's time. You see, we're living in the age of grace, and one day that age of grace is going to come to an end. What is your verdict this morning? You don't know the Lord? My question is this. Is he just a liar? The greatest liar that ever lived? Is he just a lunatic? Did he think he was God and was mistaken? Or is Jesus the Lord? Before you make the decision, let me tell you one more thing. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, you will. You say, well, Bill, that's a little abrupt. You're supposed to be kind, sissy pastor. I'm not a sissy pastor. I drink sissy green tea, but that's as far as I go. No, listen. Before you make your decision, let me put it to you this way. Don't forget what I'm about to tell you. Every person that has ever lived from Adam and Eve until the last person born will be resurrected. You hear me? See, what does that mean? It means, loved one, that death is not the end. No, death is the beginning. Death is the beginning of eternity. Eternity means forever and ever and ever and ever. Now listen to me. People say, well, when I die, it's all over. No. You don't. You die. Your old body, yes, but your spirit goes back. It goes someplace. Either goes to the Lord if you're in the Lord, but if it doesn't, you know where that other place is. Now listen. Listen to me. Death is not the end. Every person is going to live eternally someplace. And here's the deal. There is no escape. And you can pass your verdict. But never forget this, that in the very end, God will give you his verdict. And that is so important. Jesus told us about the resurrection. He said this in John 5:28. He said there will be a resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, there's going to be a resurrection of condemnation, judgment. Paul put it in Acts 24:15. There will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust, the saved and the unsaved. There's going to be a day at the end talking about the resurrection. Now listen, if you don't know the Lord, that way you can know what you're going to be facing. Oh, I don't want you to be pitiable. I want you to be saved if you don't know Christ. You see, there's going to be a day after we all die. There's going to be a day, and it's called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation 20, verse 11 and following. Let me just read a little bit of it to you. John writes, as he was seeing these visions, he said, I saw a great white throne and him who sat up on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven, listen to that, the earth and the heaven, it just fled away and there was no place found for them. Think about it. The great white throne judgment. The earth is gone. The heavens are gone. There's nothing there but a huge white throne. And you know what? We're going to be right behind that throne. Amen. With the Lord. And Jesus is the judge. He's going to sit upon that throne. All judgment has been given unto him. And it says here, and I saw the dead. See, it's not when you're over, it's not over. I saw the dead, small, great, standing before God, which means when you stand before the judge, that means a verdict is coming. And the books were opened, the books, the record of our lives. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Say that with me, the book of life. Oh, that's a great book. Amen. You want to be in that book. You want your name in the book of life, believe me. And the dead were, here it is, judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Now listen, the resurrection. Now, if the rapture occurred today, we would get our resurrected new bodies. Amen. Okay, so that's when we're going to get ours. But you see, there in the book of Revelation, the first resurrection has already taken place. Remember, that's the tribulation saints, the people that go through that 7 years and they refuse to take the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and all the horrible things that are coming on this planet, the great tribulation period. They kept the faith. They wouldn't deny Jesus. And guess what? There they are. They get their resurrected bodies and they're going to be with the Lord there in the millennial reign of Christ, which is 1,000 years, and they're going to reign with him and serve him. Now, that's the first resurrection. Oh, that's a great one. But boy, here, this is the second resurrection. That's a bad deal. That's when those who are in Hades, the place of torment. See, no one's in hell yet. Hades, waiting. They're all there waiting. They're waiting right now. And they're waiting for the judgment. And they're not dead. And then they're going to be called up. And they're going to stand before God. And they're going to give an account of their lives. And listen, when they're called up, that means they are not going to receive resurrected, glorified bodies. It means you're going to get the old body you died in. And you're going to stand before God in that day if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be there. The Bible goes on to say that the sea even gave up the dead who were in it, and all those who perished to drown in the sea. Oh, they're all of their bodies. They're, you know, it's going to be there. And it says, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And here it is. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Man, would you say that if we're going to be judged for what we, for our works, that what we do here is very important? Yes, very, very important. Each person, my life, your life, from Adam to the last one, all of our lives are going to be evaluated. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Loved one, listen to me. There is a day coming. This is, life is so short. And you know, see, Easter is not about dying. It's about living. Amen. It's about, you know, we need to, you need, if you don't know the Lord, you need to come away from the empty tomb and look at the risen Savior. Because he's not in that tomb. Now, how he loves us. How he cares for us. You see, there's going to be a set of books that are going to be opened. There's not going to be a jury. There's not going to say, well, there's a jury of my peers. No, it's not going to be. It's just God. He's got the books. He knows everything we've ever done. Isn't it wonderful that when you come to Christ, everything we've ever done, the sin is washed away? Praise God for that. Because none of us would have made it. Amen? Oh, no. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. You can't appeal your case then. There will be no appeals. It doesn't work that way. You won't even be able to defend yourself. You just stand alone before God. There he is. You can't get out of the mess that you're in because, see, you didn't ask Christ to come into your heart now while you had the time. And then it says, and then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is Gehenna, or that is eternal hell. This is the second death. Listen, the second death is total separation from God's love, God's goodness, God's light, everything that God is. Now listen, total separation forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You see, when you're in Christ, Jesus defeated death, and we don't have to fear it. Amen? Yes. And then it says, listen carefully now, and anyone not found written in the book of life, say that with me, the book of life, important book. Anyone name not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, how pitiable is that? For eternity. Forever, ever, ever. You know, listen, you that are in the chapel and the overflow room, the main lobby, and those that are tuning in right now, listen to the broadcast. Listen. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. If you're not in Christ, you will be called in front of God, and books will open, and you will give an account. And in that day, listen, but saying, well, I did the best I could. I'm a good old boy, good old girl, worked hard, paid my taxes, washed my car, mowed my yard. It's not going to work. You see, you have to be in the Savior. You have to be in the one who paid for our sins. Amen. And that's and man has a choice. Isn't that amazing? Listen, I was talking to a guy the other day, and I was just tell him about the love of God and how Jesus loved him and about the book of life. And I said, don't you want your name written in the book of life? He said, I don't want my name written there. Shut up. Well, I hit him. No. I didn't do that. In my mind, but not in my spirit, I was loving him. And I said, you don't understand, sir. If your name is not written, if you don't come to Christ, your name is not there. You're not going to be saved. I said, I don't want my name anywhere in heaven. And I said, you mean that you would rather be damned for all eternity, forever and ever and ever, instead of having your book name in the book of life? Yes. And I said, how pitiable is that man? The man's condition is past my understanding. Oh, how pitiable to the person who rejects Christ. How sad to walk away from eternal life when this life, listen, this life is short. And just say, I'm going to live for these, I've got maybe 70 years, or the Bible says maybe 80 or whatever by reason of strength. Okay, 80 stinking years. And all, come on, you know what? If you're as old as I am, I'm only 45, but if you're as old as I am, you know, here's the thing. You know what? I'm not... Life is not fair, is it? Ups and downs, no matter what your age is. Thank God we have the Word of God that keeps us firmly planted on the rock. Look, I say, listen, why would you walk away from eternal life? This life is so short, and then it's over with, and then you live forever and ever and ever and ever separated from God in what God calls hell, eternal hell. A place where it says the fire is never quenched, the worm dieth not. It's a place of outer darkness. I don't even like talking about it, but it's true. It hurts me to even mention it. God loves you, man. What is your verdict? What are you going to do with Jesus? I mean, is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Is he going to be your Lord? I need to know. He needs to know. There's only one way to get your name in the book. If you have not confessed with your mouth, believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then your name is not in that book. And out of all the people on the earth, I don't care how rich you might be, how poor you might be, whatever you're facing in your life, God says this to you. I love you. I want you. I want you. But you are the most wretched, pitiable person on the planet, the one who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus said this. He said, listen, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word, and that's what I'm preaching right now, is his word. He who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life. And here's the good part. And shall not come into judgment, the great white throne judgment, but would pass out of death into life. Boy, how can anyone pass that up? You see, the resurrection of Jesus is the final proof that what Christ, who Christ said he was, he was. He is the spotless, sinless, perfect Son of the living God. He's the God-man. He is our Savior. He is the King of kings and the fairest of thousands. Amen? He's our Lord. Listen to me very carefully. You see, the resurrection proved that only one person can forgive sin and pay for sin, Jesus. The resurrection of Christ, it proved that only one person has power over death and defeated death, Jesus. Now listen very carefully. You were not created for the grave. You were not created to die. Adam's the one that messed all that up. No, you weren't created for that. You weren't created for some casket. No, that's not what it was. You weren't created. You were created for life. You were created to live with the Lord. You weren't created for sin. You weren't created so the devil could kick you all over the place and destroy your life. No, Jesus is risen. And here's what the risen Lord said. He said, the thief, that's the devil. He said in John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning as we bow our heads and we close our eyes on this Resurrection Sunday, as every Christian in this entire building is praying. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, listen carefully. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, I beg you in Jesus' name to receive him now. You don't have to walk down this aisle. You don't have to do any of those things. But here's what you must do if you want to be saved, if you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to pray this prayer with me right now, and God will save you. And when you pray this prayer, God will write your name in the book of life, and heaven will be your home, and your sins will be forgiven, and you will become a new creation, and you'll know it. So pray this prayer with me right now if you don't know Jesus. Church, all of you, help me as well. Say, Father, I've heard your word today. You're not a liar. You're not a lunatic. You're the Lord. And I turn to you now, asking for forgiveness, wanting to be saved. So I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised in your word, and you cannot lie, that if I would confess Christ as Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Heads are bowed, no one looking up, every Christian praying. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, you meant it in your heart, listen very carefully. This is only between you and God. This is a step of faith. You don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to come down here. None of those things. But here's what you must do. You need to acknowledge it right now. That, and the way you do that is simply lift your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, I just prayed that prayer. I just asked Christ to come into my heart. Just lift it high and put it right back down. God bless you, sir. God bless you back there. Yes, yes, God bless you. Anyone else, just say, Bill, I prayed that prayer right now. Yes, God bless you, sister. Yes, sir, God bless you. Anyone say, Bill, I just prayed that prayer. I just asked the Lord to be the Lord of my life and come in and he saved me. My name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anyone else before I close? Say, Bill, I prayed that. Just put your hand up, put it right back down. Well, Lord, once again, there is no one like you. We're so thankful for those that just came into your kingdom. Oh, God, how we praise you this morning for our resurrected Savior. He was here. He visited us. He saved people. Oh, God, you're so good. We honor you. We love you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Now, we're going to close with a song, and then we're going to go home and have Easter dinner or whatever. But you who lifted your hands, listen, when the song is over, please make your way down to the front. There'll be men down here to pray with you if you'd like someone to pray with you. But the main thing is they have a booklet entitled Welcome to the Family of God. And they just want to put it in your hand. And if you prayed that prayer and you're listening live right now and you prayed that prayer with me, with us this morning, just email me at info@loveneverfails.com and that book will be mailed out to you Monday morning. And tomorrow morning, first thing, God is so good, isn't he? Oh, we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Life is so short. Love one another while you can. Be good to one another while you can. Amen. Don't worry about anything. Let God handle it. Amen. He can do it better than we can. I pray you have a blessed rest of the week in Jesus' name. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. God is so good, yes you are. God is so good, he's so good to me. And I love him so, we love him. I love him so, I love him so, he's so Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. In Jesus' name, have a great week.